Coach, I know by now you've had a chance to watch the film from Friday night. After watching it, meeting with the guys, what was your takeaway from the game?
Well, I think it was the end of a real good week for us against Tampa. We got a lot done in practice, and we had an opportunity to play a lot of people in the game. We had a number of situations come up in the game, like the two-minute drives and things like that. End of the game, four-minute offense, trying to run out the clock, things. So we had a lot of good situational play, and they're a team that's a lot different than we are. They're a lot different than Philadelphia. So I think it was a good experience for our team and our coaching staff to work against them, and I think we got a lot out of it.
I want to ask you about those joint practices. I mean, you've done it over the years here. We just talked with Vince a while ago, and he said when you started, he wasn't sure what to expect, but he likes it. How about you? What have you learned from when you first started doing it, the joint practices, to now?
That you need to have a good relationship with the team you're practicing against, or it's more trouble than it's worth. But if you have that, then I think it can be really productive.
I don't know if you have, but have you taken anything from the experience where you're saying, well, we did this with Atlanta, and I like the way they do things, so maybe we'll incorporate this, or the Bucks. Is there anything that you have been able to incorporate that you saw another team do and you hadn't thought about before?
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. I think, it's probably every time we work with a team like that, we find something that, either they do maybe a drill or way they do something, or their facility, the way they're set up, that gives us an idea or a thought to how to improve our situation. And those teams have been very cooperative with us, and we've tried to do the same and reciprocally with them when they've been up here and just show them facilities, or they use our weight rooms or our meeting rooms or vice versa as it is necessary to facilitate the convenience of the practice. And sure, absolutely, we learned from everybody.
Now, you mentioned that Tampa does things a little bit differently than you do, or from the way Philadelphia does. I don't know exactly what that is. I'll venture a guess that some of it is their determination to run the ball, to be more of a power team. Is that a good general assessment?
When we went to Philadelphia, they were a 3-4 team, and defensively and offensively they ran a lot of shotgun. They weren't under center very much at all, and it was a lot of the read option package and things like that. And Tampa is a much more conventional run and play action, as you mentioned, and defensively they're a four-man line, played a lot of under defense, and they stunt and blitz a lot. So between the two teams, we saw two different offenses, two different defenses, and a lot of things that we're going to see during the course of the season, and that combined with working against ourselves, which we're, let's say, a little different than both of them, we've had those experiences. Then we'll see kind of another one here with Detroit. I think they're, some combination of us and Philadelphia offensively, and maybe us and Tampa defensively. And so it's good for us to experience things like that. And they've caused adjustments to plays, caused adjustments to schemes. It forces our coaches to think differently because it's a different team with a different philosophy, different ideas, how we are going to adjust to it or what kind of calls we're going to make, things like that. So it's, I think all it's good.
I'm sure the planning will be different. And I'm sure it'll look a little different with Tampa. I mean, you practice with them, you're going to see them during the regular season. But how much do you think is actually something you will see during the regular season? Is it, can you put in the percentages, 25%? Is it 75% with what they threw at you during practice and in the game?
Yeah, well, I don't think either Tampa or us did anything specifically for either team. I think we just ran what we run. I think they ran what they run. And when we play them in the regular season, I'm sure that both teams will specifically target certain areas of strength and weakness and try to exploit those or defend them if it's the other team's strength. So this practice with them wasn't really about trying to get an edge on the regular season as much as it was developing our team for the season and making evaluations of our players in training camp, and that's really what it was for. And I think we accomplished that.
We saw you use a fullback a few times early in the game on Friday night. It's a position that, seems to have maybe gone out of style at times recently across the NFL. How has that position evolved on your team or maybe even throughout the NFL in general?
Well, I think there's, you know, whatever you want to call that person, I think there's quite a few teams that employ two people in the backfield, at least a part of the time. And whether that other person's a tight end or another halfback or a fullback, it could be, you know, a matter of semantics, really. But it's another person back there, and I think that affords you some advantages offensively. It also takes away some things that you could do when you have four receivers on or close to the line of scrimmage. So there, you know, a number of them around, and they've come in different, you know, shapes and sizes. There's not a lot of true fullbacks in college football, so that's one thing. A lot of the fullbacks that you see in the National Football League are conversions from linebacker or some other position to fullback. Sometimes you get a bigger running back that's maybe doesn't have the speed for a running back that can move to fullback. So I'd say probably at least half of the true fullbacks in the NFL are some type of conversions. And I think, again, that really speaks to the lack of the number of fullbacks in college football, that you have to find them somewhere other than there. You have to get them from the defensive side of the ball or convert from another position. Or if you have multiple tight ends on your roster, then you can teach some tight ends to play in the backfield with fullback-type responsibilities. But it, you know, when you put the guy in the backfield, he can go either way, and he can create an extra gap to whichever side he goes to. When you put him on the line of scrimmage, then you've pretty much declared where the extra gap is. You could bring him back across on a counter or plays like that, but he just doesn't have the same kind of blocking angles that he has coming from the backfield. So that's the basic advantage to it.
I want to ask you another aspect about another aspect of the game on Friday. Tim Tebow was out there. Didn't look particularly comfortable. And he said after the game, he said he has improved. Do you agree with that? And if so, where have you seen the improvement with Tim?
Well, again, I looked at last week as kind of a three-day evaluation, not just the game, but our practices on Tuesday and Wednesday, which were very competitive against Tampa. So the entire body of work for all the players was pretty significant. Some guys practiced more and played less. Some guys practiced less and played more. But the bottom line is we got to see a lot of competition against Tampa, as we saw the week before against Philadelphia. And I think that really all the players on our team improved. He would certainly go into that category. And every player still has room to improve. So they all go into that category too.
What do you think he's done well so far, Tim?
I think he's definitely picked up the offense and has, you know, been able to function efficiently in that. And he's, you know, obviously has some skills that are unique relative to other quarterbacks. And I think that his overall execution of the passing game has improved definitely over the course of training camp.
When you have guys on your team who are undrafted, who are getting some legitimate reps in practice, I mean, you're seeing it with Sudfeld, Tompkins, et cetera, guys that you've clearly taken a pretty good look at. Do you consider draft position when you're thinking about a player? I mean, you've got some guys who were drafted in the second round playing the same position or maybe even competing against somebody who went undrafted. Do you block all that out? Does it play a role? How do you think of that?
Yeah, very simply, it doesn't matter how you get here. It's what you do when you're here. That's what matters.
So when you see a guy, you can completely forget about any of his history. It's just what you're seeing on practice film, game film, et cetera.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you know, certainly players that have, you know, an established history, you take that somewhat into consideration. But, I mean, ultimately each team has to be built each year from training camp or even the spring, but particularly from training camp into the start of the regular season and through the season. And some players improve, some players decline, some players performance is pretty consistent from what it was the year before, but each year you have to go through the process to find that out. That's what we're doing this year. That's what we do every year, but we're not as concerned about how a person gets here, whether we draft them, trade for them, wasn't drafted, was here before, wasn't, you know, it's that's not as important as what they do when they're here and what they're doing this year, because that's what competition is, and that's what will be decided, how the players perform in their opportunities this year, not what they did in, you know, 11 or 09, or I mean, we can't really worry about that.
Does it take any longer to be convinced if that's the case? And if you look at a guy who's never played in the league, went undrafted, you and 31 other teams passed on him seven times, if he flashes a little bit early, does it take maybe a little more before you recognize it? Or, I mean, you just right off the bat say, hey, he's got just as good a shot as everybody else.
Yeah, I think everybody has that same type of opportunity at the beginning. The hard part, because, again, how well a player plays for some college team and their system doesn't really hold too much weight here. We recognize it, but, you know, there's a lot of good college players that weren't great pro players. There's a lot of, you know, guys that didn't do much in college, the Matt Castles and the Steve Neals of the world that were real good players professionally and for us. So I think we evaluate what we see. The hard part is for players that you don't have much history on in the National Football League, when they don't have a lot of opportunity, they get injured or something happens, and then you're trying to evaluate on a very small sample. That's always harder to do.
You mentioned the word process a couple of minutes ago, and I know there's a process and a rhythm to training camp as you lead up to the season. What are you looking for right now as you go into game three? Where are we in this stage in terms of evaluating? There are going to be some cuts coming up here. Where do you feel like the team should be right now, and what exactly are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for the team to build on where we're at. There's still some things that we need to do that we haven't done or haven't done enough of up to this point. We have to start the process of preparing for a team. Tampa and Philadelphia were easy to prepare for because we practiced against them for 3 days. You can't get any better preparation than that. We're certainly not in that situation this week, so scouting reports, film study, practice tape, we have to try to replicate how that's the game's going to go, how they're going to play. We can't have that firsthand experience that we've had in the last 2 weeks of practices. So we're having to transition into that. We're having to learn how to work against each other, how to kind of run the other team's plays. We haven't been doing that all year. We've been running our plays against ourselves or against an opponent. So that's something that we have to learn how to do so we can be efficient with it. And I think the whole process, which training camp is getting a team ready for the regular season, and that's the continuation of activity, scouting reports, game plans, practices, treatments, weights, another day, play the game, and then start all over again. So I think we're starting to get into that. It's a little bit of a routine. It's also a little bit of a grind. And I think that the players hopefully have, you know, learned over these past 3 weeks how to maximize the time that they have here at the stadium, in their preparations, their treatments, their weightlifting, getting on a schedule, getting enough rest, getting the proper nutrition, doing all the things that enable them to reach their peak performance the one time a week when it's called on. So I think it's all those things come into play. And we've moved out of the hotel. We're not in that training camp mode now. We're in a different type of daily routine and setup. So there's a little bit of a transition there. I mean, I think all those things.
How strong is the competition for playing time in your secondary right now?
I think we have a lot of competition in a lot of spots on the team. And I think that's one of the things that we have to do in the next couple weeks is kind of figure out not only individually what's best for each individual player, but what's our best combination of players. And we've worked players at multiple positions in a lot of areas on the team. And, you know, we're going to have to start deciding how to utilize the players that's best for the team. And there could be a lot of answers to that question. One thing in the secondary that we have to consider is just are different defensive packages. You know, on the offensive line, you have five guys. That's it. You never really have more than that. You never really have less than that. In the secondary, you have four defensive backs. You have five defensive backs. You could have six defensive backs. And those could come in different percentages depending on the situations and the opponents that you're playing. So the playing time and how it breaks down schematically and with our different personnel groupings, that's all part of the conversation.
Is that what you mean by combinations of guys, or is some of it the – is it chemistry that they would have together, or is it just how many roles in that spot they could fill?
Well, both. Yeah, both. It's, sometimes it's combinations of guys. For example, on the offensive line, sometimes your five best guys don't all play five different positions. So do you want to move a guy so that your five best guys are playing five different positions? Or do you feel that you're better off, even though one of your players is maybe the fifth guy, that the sixth player plays a position that you need better than the fifth guy does at that new position? And things like that. So, but again, when you get away from the offensive line, or you get away from quarterback, or you get away from the specialists, the punter and the snapper and the kicker and things like that, there are different combinations based on how many receivers you have on the field, how many tight ends you have on the field, how many DBs you have on the field, how many linebackers, defense. So there's a lot of lengthier conversations because you don't just have one group. You have multiple groups. And then you have to start thinking about special teams. Who's going to play on all the teams? What are their responsibilities on offense and defense? What are their projected responsibilities on special teams? Who's going to back them up? Because, again, when you lose a player in the kicking game, sometimes you lose them off every team. And so who backs them up on punt, punt return, kickoff return, field goal? So, again, there's a lot of moving parts, and we try to take into consideration what we need, how the players have performed, and ultimately what's best for the team. And so, you know, having the right mix on offense, when I say combinations, you know, having the players that the offensive coaches want may or may not fit into what we need in the kicking game. Having the players that our special teams coaches want might not enable us to have the right mix on defense, especially when we start talking about nickel and dime packages and, you know, things like that. So there are a lot of combinations, and each guy's got his strengths. One guy might be good in one area, not so good in another, vice versa. Another guy might be not as good in either area, but kind of better than both, you know, than another guy in two areas, but not so. It's all those things.
And Bill, reading a transcript from an earlier press conference, I think we can surmise that Tom Brady is in good condition.
Yeah, he didn't miss a practice, didn't miss a game. So we're way past that. We're on to Detroit.
Is this the game? Most teams in the league have identified that third game as the game where your starters are going to play two quarters, or some teams go three quarters. Is it fair to say that that's what it is for you? That, you know, this is where the most. Is it fair to speculate this is the most we're going to see Brady the preseason, and probably not for game four?
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, like, you know, it's always hard to tell. Last week we ran almost 50 plays on offense in the first half, and maybe half that on defense or whatever it was. But it was the game was tilted in play time towards the offense in the first half and then towards the defense in the second half. So you never really know how it's going to go. I think our goals going into the games are to get accomplish the things that we want to get accomplished. And when that happens, I don't know. It might be at halftime. It might be in the middle of the second quarter. It might be in the end of the third quarter. It's just hard to tell how the game's going to go and what our opportunity is going to be. But I think we'll go in with an idea of, well, these are the things we feel like we need to get done for this group or this individual player, and we'll do the best we can to try to accomplish that.
If I'm a fan watching at home and I'm excited to see how Brady is gelling with his new receivers, or even specifically Danny Amendola when he's out there, other than the obvious how many catches does he make over the course of the game, what else would I look for to see how that's going?
Yeah, well, I think that type of chemistry and timing and execution comes on a daily basis. I don't think it just shows up in a game. And that's why I said I feel like the practices against Tampa, the three practices against Tampa, the three practices against Philadelphia, not everything in the game was replicated in practice. Some guys got a lot more opportunities in practice than they did in the game, vice versa. So, but I think over the course of training camp, all the practices we've had and the preseason games, what I look at, what we look at, is the entire body of work. And, you know, certainly the trend is important. From better as this training camp goes on, that's the idea. But, you know, in the end, so when you look back on it, some guys get more opportunities maybe in the first game than in the third game. And does that necessarily mean that they're better than somebody who got, or they're not better than somebody who got more opportunities in the third game? Well, no, not necessarily. So I'd say to evaluate it, you kind of need to see practices.
Essentially, I can't. There's nothing I can do in watching the games, really, to see what you would see over the whole body of work.
Well, I think that's significant. I mean, we look at that, but, you know, again, we've had whatever it is, 20-some practices in two games. So, you know, I think that there's a lot to be seen in those practices out there. I mean, if there wasn't, then I don't know why we're doing them, you know.
I think Mike's trying to ask you if he can come to practice.
Hey, practice has been open all training camp, and there have been a lot of people out there. We've had great, you know, fans, and the number of people we've had at camp have been awesome. Seems like every day it must be like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people out there, and the stands are full, the hills full. So it's a great environment to practice in.
Well, we appreciate you coming in every Monday. We'll do it again next week. Thanks so much,
sounds
and we'll
good.
Talk to you then.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you go. There's Bill Belichick.